I did want to save this because I wanted to tell you a story, James. A story of how I may not be too smart.
Okay.
Or at least just know what's going on in the world whatsoever.
Okay.
So, it was a couple Saturdays ago, cleaning the house, doing whatever, jamming out. I think we were listening to Anthrax.
Hell yeah.
And I got that wild hair up my ass, James, that it was time for some fucking Dio.
Oh, yeah.
So I popped into the living room and said, this is fine. You boys really want to rock? So I put on the first one.
Yeah.
The one with Rainbow in the Dark and all that fun shit. And I was cleaning up and I was picking up laundry. And I was talking to Kayla. And James, I said these words to another human being in the year of our Lord 2024.
Do tell.
I said, man, Dio rules. Don't let anyone ever tell you that Dio doesn't rule. But fucking Viv Campbell may be the star of Dio. And she looked at me, and I thought about it for 2.5 seconds and went, oh yeah, for all those long, detailed Dio conversations that people have these days. Mm-hmm. Don't let anyone ever tell you that Ronnie James was the only standout. Because, man, Viv Campbell could fucking shred.
Because all the cool kids.
I said that, James, to my significant other.
Is she still laughing?
In 2024.
Is she still laughing?
No, she just said, okay. And it completely ignored me, as she should have.
Did you deflate right there visibly, like a balloon?
No, and like I said it out loud to her, like, I can't believe I just, like, what the fuck am I talking about? Ooh. Because that is the world that I live in. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh yeah, I always want to talk about Dio. So if somebody does approach me wanting to talk about Dio, I will say, Viv Campbell could fucking shred. It's not just Ronnie James. That conversation will never happen.
Chris? I don't know how to tell you this, but you can add another punch to your old man card.
Yeah, no shit. But here's the thing, is like, that was made before me. So it's not that I'm an old, old man. I just suck.
Well, much like my timely references.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
And after all of the not really liking It or any of the, like, you know, very popular horror films.
Those kids and their different visual palette for cry-eye.
Yeah, and then trying to engage my girlfriend in, again, the year 2024 in a detailed conversation about Dio.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck am I doing?
Well, I feel sorry for my kids because since the time they were born, they've been, you know, they've been force-fed my music, because that's what I do. I need noise all the time in the background. And I listen to weird shit. And these kids don't, if they're going to get into high school and they're going to be talking about stuff like, oh, did your dad listen to such and such and such and such? And everybody's just crickets are going to chirp.
Yeah.
And have their poor kids are going to be fucked.
Uh-huh. Because it's not like I was talking about some weird, they're not like super underground, but like, man, the Partisans were really underrated or something, you know, like some obscure-ish band that, you know, but like, yeah, it's Dio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody wants to have a conversation about power metal icon of the late 1970s and 80s,
oh,
Ronnie
geez.
James Dio.
There's a 46-year age gap.
I'm more likely to get somebody to engage me in a conversation about Little Richard, which would be equally as stimulating.
Well, we've had those conversations,
but I am old. Yeah. Yep.
But I was going to say, there's a 46-year age difference between me and my 10-year-old children. And it just boggles my mind how old I must seem to them.
Mm-hmm. You know what else is really sunk in and made me feel that way too, especially since you fucking brought it up?
Yes.
Is my choice of, like, video games.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten really into the, like, 2D side-scrolling reminds me of when I was a kid. They're a bit more complicated because now I'm 38 and I can, you know, take in all these different buttons that we now have. But it's still just the same shit. Left, right, jump, avoid the things, move around. 3D space, somebody's shooting me. I don't know where they are. Fuck this game. I'm done.
You're playing a modern version of Contra.
Pretty much, James.
Dig Dug.
Oh, I effectively, yes, because it's got like the pixel graphics and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just, man, my life's a fucking mess, my dude.
It's all good, man. Mine's not any more tidy, homie.
Oh, and we get to talk about one of my favorite things today when Ooh. We go, hey, everybody, welcome to Horror Vomit, where we talk about horror movies so you don't have to. My name is Chris Pfaff, and I'm one of your hosts.
And I am James Marino, and I'm the other one of your hosts.
And I
dude, you actually got me this time.
I have absolutely tipped my cap, James, mm-hmm. in that previous statement, because we are talking about 1999's Wishmaster 2, Evil Never Dies.
Oh, boy.
Whatever you desire, he can deliver. Whatever you imagine, he will invent. All you have to do is say the word.
I wish.
For one wish, some will surrender their souls.
I claim that which is owed.
How many souls does he have?
Written by Peter Atkins and also written and directed by Jack Sholder, starring Holly Fields as Morgana, who I actually looked into her a little bit because she wasn't terrible in this movie. Well, I mean, I've seen worse actresses.
Here's the deal. Compared to every other person on screen, she's fucking Oscar material.
Prolific voice actress, though.
Really?
To this day, like, has done a shitload of Star Wars again? Video games. Holly Fields.
Holly Fields. What else she's done besides Star Wars? Any, like, cartoons?
Oh, dude, I don't know. She does a lot of video games.
Okay, see?
There was a lot of video games on that list.
And one of my other feathers in my nerd cap is I know almost every voice actor that does cartoons ever.
Yeah, like I said, it was a lot of video game work. But also starring Paul Johansson as Gregory and Andrew Divoff revising his role as Nathaniel Demarest / the genie / the djinn / the titular wishmaster.
Hell yeah.
James.
Yeah.
I've tipped my cap. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say I love this movie. And if we had to go on sheer quantity of viewing, this is a fucking Chris classic for a Tuesday, Wednesday night. Fucking what am I going to watch that I'm going to fall asleep? Wishmaster 2? Fuck yes.
I get it.
So there's my little bit of a spiel, and we'll get into it later. But James, my good friend.
Yes.
Also known as the Sex Master.
T.
How'd you like Wishmaster 2, Evil Never Dies?
I liked it in a... This is a absolute fucking weird train wreck.
It is a free-for-all of a movie.
And I have no context. Again, I'm watching Wishmaster 2 with no bearing on Wishmaster 1.
So, I will give you a short rundown. A very, very long time ago, Erica and I covered Wishmaster 1, which was directed by Robert Kurtzman, who has done special effects on Name Your Favorite Late 70s, 80s, 90s movie. Robert Kurtzman did the special effects. Absolute genius, legend in the field. Was given the opportunity to direct this, so of course, his effects house put on a fucking show. And while it is a little bit better written, and obviously the special effects are outstanding, it is one of those fun, silly 90s movies. It's just kind of a showcase of just like, hey, we're going to take this seriously, but also, you know, wink, wink. It's the fucking Wishmaster.
It's the last 80s movie of the 90s.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, Robert Englund's there. Raimi... Yeah. Sam Raimi's brother gets a fucking shipping container dropped on him.
Yep.
It rules. Wishmaster 1 is a legitimately, not only do I like it, but I think it is good.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get to Wishmaster 2.
I will say that this is a RoboCop 3 level, batshit, fucking out there. But I will tell you, my only gripe with this movie just comes from my fucking nerd base. There was no interior logic on how fucking wishes worked, how wishes didn't work.
Oh, no, they break the rules of the Wishmaster.
Where the fuck did this 1,001 souls come from? And anything I've ever read about genies or djinn, there's no, I got a soul counter to get his wishes to take over the fucking world. No, none of that shit. What the fuck is going on? And just, I'll talk about the absolute illogic, but fucking, I absolutely loved it.
Yes, dude, it's a riot a minute, and I don't know this for sure. This is pure speculation, James.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that they secured sets and then had to write a movie around what sets they had.
No, but I will tell you, I did have time because I watched this movie with the quickness. I mean, this movie, any complaints I have aside,
it flies.
It hit my fucking dumb button. This movie is dumb, but yeah. I fucking love it. This movie is stupid.
Like, immediately.
Mm-hmm. And the Demarest. Oh, I don't give a fuck if I ever saw the djinn. That guy was fucking awesome.
Yeah, also known as Goon from Under Siege, Andrew Divah.
Oh, God, yeah. I forgot about that.
So, do you know how he got his voice to do his really gross voice?
No, how did he do it?
So, he did this for the first one, too. Mm-hmm. Pretty much all he would eat on set is jelly beans and milkshakes.
Oh, God, so it's all phlegm.
It's just phlegmy and disgusting.
And his voice sounded like he looked, just kind of vaguely looked like if you touched him, you'd come away with some grease.
Uh-huh.
Just that, so, ugh.
Here's the thing, too.
Smarmy.
Is in the first Wishmaster, he's pretty genuinely menacing and scary, because he is a weird-looking dude. Not like out of the ordinary weird, but like he looks like a guy that you would see at a bar and go, I'm not fucking with that dude.
Oh, no.
Because he looks like he's been in a fight or two.
Mm-hmm. Looks like he might have a head in the fridge.
Yes. So in the first one, he's genuinely menacing. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of fun with this one, and I appreciate
it. He just smiled the whole
non-stop
time. And the motherfucker never blinked.
It's
not one time did that bastard blink. It was freaking me the fuck out. About halfway through the movie, I was like, is he just not blinking? He's not blinking. And now I'm like, oh, I'm going to catch him. Fucker didn't blink throughout the whole movie.
And one of the things that I absolutely love about this, mm-hmm. and like, even RoboCop 3 has like a message.
Mm-hmm.
This is saying absolutely nothing about anything.
Because what I liked about it is I thought, oh shit, here we go. I understand why they use Catholic imagery. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And I thought it was going to be a treatise on religion. I thought it was, no. It's a vague Orthodox church.
Kinda.
Sorta. Looks like a church that they put up in a mall, a two-story Wendy's. They fucking just put banners up and called it a church and then took it all down and turned it into a casino.
And got a buff, handsome, mustachioed priest.
Yeah. Father Chad.
Dude, this movie's great.
We should see him. Instead of swinging the incense, he should have been fucking waxing a surfboard.
So I wanted to wait until we were on air because I didn't want to do this before we started.
Uh-huh.
Is this one that we should just kind of go through? Because every plot beat of it is so fucking insane.
Here's the deal. The plot in this movie does not fucking matter. Does the plot in The Raid matter?
No.
No. It's fucking, you're going to watch people whip each other's asses.
But trying really hard to have a plot. And this is what before we get into it, this is what I love about this era of movies. That Wishmaster did well enough to garner a sequel. They didn't start it before they had gotten the results. It made enough money, so you know what? Fuck it. Let's make a Wishmaster 2. None of this is done incompetently.
Mm-hmm. Well, here, there was an interview with the director. And I listened to, it's like a 10-minute interview. And they're asking them straight up questions about the movie because these guys are like fanboys and they're asking them like gritty questions about this. But what he said, he's like, look, when they asked me to do Nightmare 2, I kind of didn't want to do it because, you know, it's an entrenched thing and I do my own thing.
Oh, man. And Nightmare on Elm Street 2, which he also directed, it it fucking sucks, dude. Right.
But what I'm saying about that is he's like, I didn't want to do this unless I could write whatever the fuck I wanted.
Uh-huh.
So this isn't, he had sets. He wrote what the fuck he wanted.
Yes.
He said the only time he eased it into it is there were some set pieces that were left from the original movie that they used for this movie.
Yeah.
And so he wrote around those, but everything else was supposed to be there.
So here's the one, I will say, cool thing about Nightmare on Elm Street 2, because mm-hmm. Jack Shoulder is an openly gay man. Mm-hmm. Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is known in the gay community even as being just turbo gay.
Okay, because
it's one of the gayest movies ever made, and it rules for that.
The fact that the director is gay makes a lot of sense now, because it starts out where everything, you know, they use the F-bomb a bunch and homophobic slurs and stuff. But it's vaguely homoerotic when they're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get that asshole out of my face. I'm like, you know, or do a long, slow dance with you. Pause. Compton style.
And it's weird to think that, like, well, knowing that this is very much an openly gay man, is it also just tremendously misogynistic, or does he literally not know a woman?
I don't think so. And, you know, was this rated R?
More than likely, James.
Want to know one thing.
It starts out with a gooey demon monster.
1999. Breast assistance and whatnot still sold.
Yes.
The only breasts you saw in this movie were on a painting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is odd, or would be odd normally.
Yes. For Wishmaster 2.
Yeah. But it makes sense now, knowing what I know. Because, there was only one woman in that, really.
Yeah.
I mean, except for the old lady shitting quarters.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But there really were.
And no, everybody, that is not a euphemism. No, that is literally a thing that happens in Wishmaster 2, yep. Colon, evil never dies.
But, colon, I see what you did there. Ah. But there are very few women portrayed in this movie. And all the males are portrayed in some kind of weird sexual way.
And before we move on to Jack Shoulder, the director of this, and Nightmare 2, also directed a movie that we have done on HPV, The Hidden, with Kyle MacLachlan.
He did The Hidden?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which The Hidden fucking rules.
I only saw about 20 minutes of it, and then I passed out because I was drunk as fuck.
Yeah, it's very entertaining. It's very good. I still contend that it's not really a story, but it's cool. I liked it.
Well, just like this. But let's talk about this movie, right?
So, we start off in an art gallery.
Oh, my fucking God.
Which, honestly, James, it looks cheaper than the art gallery in the small town that we live in.
It looks like somebody put drywall up in a garage, painted it.
Yeah, there is literally siding on one of the walls. Mm-hmm.
And randomly, a crate in the middle of an exhibit hall?
Yes.
For no apparent fucking reason.
Because they need it there, James.
I know, but I'm just saying, you can't watch this movie objectively, much like I couldn't watch it objectively.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sitting there going, fucking art heist, what are they... Did they plan this? What's going on? Because so one of them's cutting fucking paintings off the wall. The other one's looking at...
Yeah, cutting a painting out of a frame, but poorly.
Yeah, not even like trying to get it up near the frame. Just
yeah, just effectively hacking at this fucking thing.
Well, it was just kind of fiddling, piddle-pissing around in the background. The other one's like, hey, this looks pretty. Smash.
Yeah, there's a glass case, obviously, because it's an art museum. So there's a glass case in the middle of the room on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the one light shining down on it. And of course, one of the burglars smashes it with his fist. And then they all look surprised.
And so and my head is like, well, you know, it probably would have netted you more coke and weed money were you to steal catalytic converters.
Or just take that whole fucking glass box.
Right, because you should not be doing an art heist. You obviously didn't plan this. Hey, guys, what? We're going to go on a heist today. Where are we going to? We're going to steal art. What?
So this well-planned-out art heist at this very high-end exclusive art museum
mm-hmm.
erupts into an immediate gunfight with security.
The shittiest gunfight in the entire universe.
But mind you, this is how Wishmaster 2 starts, is with a gunfight with security guards. Mm-hmm. And an art gallery.
And an uncredited Cordy Haim is one of the burglars. Oh my God. Yeah, apparently Cordy Haim was dating Morgana.
Two of them get shot, mm-hmm. and one of the bullets from the security guards dislodges the ruby.
Oh, God, that was such a good-looking statue, too.
That is a callback from the first one. It was locked inside of this because the djinn was trying to take over. The emperor's, magician sealed it inside of this thing. It broke open, yada, yada, yada. That's why the gem is inside of there.
Okay.
So it breaks out, and Morgana's holding it, and it breaks in her hand. Finally, we get the Wishmaster.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I bitched last week about showing the monster immediately.
Mm-hmm.
However, when your monster is a goopy, crawling fucking insectoid.
Dude.
With a talking Andrew Divov face.
I love the...
in 1999.
Think about how... Well, the effect is all practical.
Yeah.
So they stretched the rubber out. They pushed his face through. Some of it was puppet. Some of it, the effects were the bomb. And that's what really made this movie fun for me.
Uh-huh.
Because we talk about the most of the pillars that we need for a good movie. Fuck this story. We're going to talk about what little story there is, but fuck this story. It's just absolutely apeshit insane.
Uh-huh. So here is where one of my favorite things in movie history happens, James. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know who possibly wrote this and thought, yeah, this is where the story naturally goes. The genie goes to jail.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we forgot one thing. In the kerfuffle, Morgana gets a gun and shoots the guard.
Yes.
Kills him.
She is a murderer. For this entire film,
yeah.
She is a murderer.
Now, prior to this, except for her illicit little piercings and her little marijuana smoking, and maybe an occasional heist. And by heist, I mean she's fucking, she's boosting at the 7-Eleven. I'm not talking about a heist. You know?
Right.
She's a bad girl.
Yep, she is gothed up, buddy.
Mm-hmm, mall goth.
So this is, honestly though, James,
mm-hmm.
when you're making a movie about an otherworldly supernatural power,
mm-hmm.
collecting souls, well, I don't know, he goes to jail?
Before that though, we got to talk about that one effect where it was this kind of weird, like Cronenberg, it's the face is down near the stomach and one of the legs is half grown. The other one's stunted and it's kind of walking around.
Yeah, the weird slimy monster with the Andrew Divov face. Yeah.
Oh, fucking loved. I thought you were just talking about the wall effect. Yeah. No. Oh my God.
It's great.
Hell yeah.
So the genie goes to jail and while he is in a holding cell, again, we might get this and the Morgana story back and forth in the wrong order.
Who gives a fuck?
Who gives a shit? So... In the county lockup is one of my favorite characters in this film.
Fucking Donald Duck, man. Oh, hell yeah.
Dude, this guy, this is one of my, just this specific character, but this general character.
Mm-hmm.
The schlub in the county jail who's supposed to be the toughest guy in the world.
Well, the funny thing about that guy is he looks like a guy, if I was in a bar full of people, and I'm looking at people. He looks like he has actually been in a fight. He looks like the kind of guy you don't want to fuck with. But he's not the kind of guy who's a good enough actor to portray that. He is that guy, but he can't act that guy, if you know what I'm saying.
No, he's a raving maniac.
Yeah. And
just kind of, like I said, he's just a schlub. He's not a big buff dude with tattoos. He's not like a skinhead. He's not portrayed as a gang member. He's just... a dude.
Yeah, he's just like Otis from the Valley, man.
He's the guy who's unhirable at most construction firms around town.
He's the guy got put off 3 roofing crews for drinking. You know how fucking hard it is to get fired from a roofing crew? He
yeah,
did it.
Yeah, it's that dude.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets in the Wishmaster's face, and this is when we are clearly shown that, yeah, Andrew Devoff wasn't taking this real seriously. He's yucking it up with this fucking guy. Mm-hmm.
I can give you what you want.
Look at your shoes. What are they, Italian?
And I love that even the Wishmaster's like, what, my shoes? I don't know, man. Like,
they're
what?
Shoes. Why?
Like, I'm offering you everything in the world. You can do better than wanting my shoes.
I enjoyed, I'll tell you what though, as much as I laughed at some of the writing and some of the line delivery, I loved that line. And there are little bits and there are little gems in this movie that I think, you know how you said you rewatched it?
Yeah.
This is an entirely rewatchable movie. This is a party movie. This is a, again, I'm fucking bored.
This is a, I need to fold laundry. I need to go to bed. I need something on while I play games on my phone.
Yeah. I do that oddly, like lately, my comfort movie is Equalizer 3.
Oh, dude. Mindless, just fucking violence and stupid.
Hell yeah. Or I'll do the Harder They Come.
I say, but in the instance of the Equalizer 3, at least you've got like Denzel, who is still at least making an attempt.
Yeah, but I mean, I can use this one now too, and I will, because it's just so much fun, because we're getting to the part.
Yep. So at this point, Morgana, realizing that she is a murderer, and that this man, Demarest, has taken the fall for her, goes to visit her ex-boyfriend, Hunky Priest.
God, he looks like every soap opera dude ever.
That is, James, that is the perfect description of this man.
Mm-hmm.
He is 100% a soap opera star. I'm not saying
no, but
in real life, those were his roles. He has the look.
He had the offset part with the fucking blowout feather cut, over-the-ear feather cut. Did he have a mustache or a beard?
Oh,
a beard.
He sure had the entire mustache-beard combo, my friend.
Yep, he was fucking rocking all of that. Now, he's supposed to be Russian Orthodox, and if he's Russian, well, I'm Russian.
Yes.
Okay, just saying.
Yeah. So was Dikembe Mutombo. Also yes. Russian, if this man is Russian.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's another, before we talk about this amazing scene, the other gripe I had is they set up this thing with Ortuchk, or whatever the fuck his name was, having maybe killed some people in the parish where this priest was. They never revisit none of that shit.
No. Why would you?
Because I'm like, well, if they'd done that, I would have been like, fucking A, this movie is the shit. Now, this movie's a fun movie that I'll rewatch, but if they would have made some sense out of it, or pulled that story back around a little bit more, I would have been fucking masterpiece. Mwah.
No, but instead it's Wishmaster 2, and it's perfect in its own way, James.
Okay. All right, so, gotta love the ugly ones, too.
So where are we at?
We haven't been there yet, because we just got to the point where...
Okay, so where are we at?
Shoes.
Shoes. Oh, so the schlubby dude, just his wish then is to just walk right through those bars. And wish granted, my friend.
Oh, man. And this is, I love this because, you know how I joked that this is the last 80s movies of the 90s?
Yeah.
They pulled those 80s effects, but they'd updated them enough to where it was like, it looked really real for a minute until it didn't.
Yeah.
But just enough to really fuck with you. And then the uncanny valley pulled you the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And like the way the clothes shredded as he was being slowly pulled through the bar by the invisible force.
Uh-huh.
The face just pulling through the bars. And then you just watch as the leg and the foot and and they cut back and forth. It is beautifully filmed. Uh-huh. I mean, absolutely amazingly
filmed. And it just lands with a wet plop on the floor.
The other gripe I have, okay, motherfucker gets pulled through the bars of county.
Yeah.
Okay? It's never fucking addressed.
No, never once.
Never once, like...
Because later he is seen in prison, which means, after all of this, the genie was on trial. And man, do I want that movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
I want a courtroom drama where the Wishmaster is on trial for robbing and murder in an art gallery and then somehow shoving a man through bars.
And I love, you know what I would, I wish that scene had been filmed and they showed you the court sketch. I want the court sketch from that fucking trial.
So here's, Here's one of my favorite parts of this movie also, is because when the genie, or the wishmaster, or the djinn, or Demarest goes to prison, everyone knows he's a genie.
Yeah.
It is addressed outright several times.
Initially, it's not. Initially, again, everybody thinks he's the devil.
Yes.
Which is why I thought it was going to go this weird Catholic, Christian, whatever route. It didn't. But it sketched it out there a little bit. Just enough if you felt like filling it in, you could. But why the fuck bother?
Mm-hmm.
But it started out with everybody thought he was the devil and they were selling their souls to the devil. The first person to call him was Mortuchk, or whatever the fuck his name was. The Russian guy. He's like, you are a djinn.
Oh, the first person that he interacts with in prison is the Mexican dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got to talk about that.
Who got pulled over and sent to prison on an illegal search and seizure.
Mm-hmm.
His lawyer fucked up and didn't file the paperwork or anything else and let this dude go down for 2 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that lawyer can go fuck himself.
Mm-hmm.
And James,
mm-hmm.
That can be arranged.
Mm-hmm.
In a thing that makes absolutely no sense, but might be the greatest gag in movie history.
Well, what I loved is the setup, because initially he says, look, I'm here on, he's like, I know you
were unjustly convicted,
you know?
Yes.
You say, yeah, well, I was a lawyer, you know, the lawyer can go fuck himself. Well, an initial part of the scene, and this is what makes the scene work, because otherwise it would have just been a stupid sight gag, you know? Yeah. Might as well have just been watching laughing with horror, you know?
Uh-huh.
They set it up going, okay, well, look, I've been reviewing your case, and they fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge error, and I kind of can't wait to go back and, you know, shove it up their ass.
So, yeah, guess what, man? You are effectively a free man, because this will be thrown out.
In the middle of one of his sentences, he's making, oh, and you think, is that a yummy noise or is that a shit noise? What is going on? And
yeah.
All of a sudden, you see his legs crack up behind him and start pumping him. He's just like, just bouncing on a fucking table. And you see his legs, his feet are bent backwards, and just somehow he's fucking himself. I don't know the angle of the dangle or how the shit would work, but he's...
It can't. It just... physically, that cannot happen. And I'm so glad that they went, who gives a shit, and put it in here.
Can you imagine?
A grown man fucking himself while two other men watch.
And can you imagine the conversation? Okay, guys, gather around. Okay, in this scene, the lawyer's legs are going to bend up backwards, and he's gonna effectively just fucking hump himself from behind, okay? Can you imagine being a guy that was hired for the day going...
James,
hmm.
Could you imagine going to an audition and coming home and saying, honey, I got the part. I'm going to be the lawyer who fucks himself to death in front of two other dudes in Wishmaster 2.
There has to be an audition for this.
Yes.
Which means that more than one person...
left their home.
To audition for the role of the lawyer.
Hundreds of people.
Can you imagine? Would you love to see the reel? Like the fucking fast cut reel. Every single solitary applicant fucking themselves on screen. Okay, now lean into it. Say, ooh, ooh, ooh. Okay, now you're supposed to be happy with this. Ooh. Okay, better. Okay, 100 of those. I'd fucking die. I'd be Showtime at the Apollo pounding the fucking floor. It would be horrible. What's the matter? They're fucking himself. What? That's the 15th time you've seen that. 200 more. Ah!
So... after he tells the short Mexican man and before the lawyer is fucked to death, we also meet Beefcake Prisoner.
Oh, God.
With his two Asian ninja sidekicks.
I was trying to work out, like, I know a little bit about County, and I'm like, why would Asian dudes hang out with, what is he?
Yeah.
What is that guy? Anyway,
humongous is what he is.
He's big, but he doesn't seem Samoan. I'm rolling through County logic now. It might sound racist, but if you've ever been to County, everything is segregated by themselves. So I'm sitting there working out County logic for this fucking stupid ass movie.
Uh-huh.
For no reason, because in just a second, Oh God. Yep. Oh, you go. I'm laughing so too hard.
We open on a shot with Demarest in the laundry room arguing with some fucking Russian. And that's when we're introduced to Olek?
Yeah, Olchak
or whatever, the Russian gangster in this movie. So they start talking and he recognizes that, oh, this guy is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the confrontation with Big Buff Guy.
Oh, yeah.
I know there's another talk with the other inmate that's very funny. But this guy comes in and says, you know, where's my rent?
Mm-hmm. Want my cut?
And this is when Andrew Divov is just clearly fucking off in this scene. Because the big old smile on his face is fantastic throughout this entire...
When you didn't think it could get any bigger... Yes. It did.
He is flat out trying not to laugh out loud, it looks like.
He's like Conrad Veidt, almost to his fucking ears, grinning with the fucking Kubrick stare the whole movie. And I couldn't see anybody else pulling it off. Ron Perlman couldn't even pull that off. You know what I mean?
No.
But this guy, you're just fucking, every time he's on there, he's not even chewing scenery. He's just using that voice and that smile, and he doesn't fucking blink.
Ugh. And he rules.
Yes, he does. He rules hard.
So,
oh yeah,
this guy wants his rent, and the Wishmaster's telling him no, and he gives him like a piece of paper and a pack of smokes, and that's not good enough for this behemoth of a man.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the Wishmaster's drugs. Mm-hmm. To which one of my favorite quotes is, "Well, which kind of drugs would you like?" Yeah.
That was hilarious. It took me, I had to stop. I was laughing so hard. I had to stop the movie, catch my breath, and keep going.
Uh-huh.
Because then when he's like,
he says, whatever, man, I just want to get wasted. Tore up from the floor up. Stomped into the ground.
Want to get fucked up.
So the Wishmaster takes control of his two ninja sidekicks.
Freaking Frack.
My God, James.
Oh, they just...
Again, it's almost like a fucking, like, Monty Python sketch. Mm-hmm.
It is. You know what it reminds me of is old, like, old Shaw Brothers stuff, where they're literally funny during the fight. They're doing shtickla while they're beating the fuck out of each other. Because the Asian guys are going, why is this happening? But literally just like, scissor-kicking the fuck out of this guy.
They are standing on either side of him and doing the... like bouncing him back and forth with kicks.
Night at the Roxbury style.
Yes. It's so goddamn funny.
And they just beat the living piss out of this dude.
And then kick him into what, like a radiator or some shit?
I don't know. At this point, it didn't matter. It happened to be a crematorium / laundromat. I don't fucking know.
Oh, man. And we forgot to mention that the prison guard who hates Demarest.
Tiny motherfucking Lister.
Goddamn right, my friend.
Oh, my favorite part of the interview with the director is, it's like, they were like, was it cool working? He's like, it was cool until it wasn't cool. If he came in a good day, everybody fucking loved him. And on a bad day, well, it was just a quiet on the set that day.
So, during all of this, Morgana and Hunky Priest are doing their best to engage in, but also not fuck.
Mm-hmm.
That is their entire story being together.
And there's zero chemistry there. It's like, much like me in chemistry class, zero chemistry was happening on screen.
And like, nothing is happening with her. She goes and visits Demarest at the prison and then talks to him while he's gardening.
Yeah.
In a vest.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, like all the priests do.
It's very funny. And again, it makes me think that they just set all of this due to like sets that they had. Like, well, where should they have this conversation? In her luxurious apartment? No, we can't film there anymore. Dude, you can do it in my backyard. I got some gardening gloves. We'll just make him look like he's doing some shit.
If they're in Los Angeles anywhere, the size of that fucking apartment. And technically, she's doing heist what? For fucking weed money and rent?
I guess.
How the fuck much? How is she affording that? Because she ain't selling out of her pants. So I don't know how the fuck she's living there.
It is a massive apartment.
It's like a semi-separated loft. But I will tell you what, I fucking loved that apartment. I had to go back. I watched scenes in that apartment 3 times because she had like Masonic symbols up there and fucking cool lights. And that coffee table, there's a big glass coffee table with spoked wheels underneath. And I was just like, fuck, I want that so goddamn bad. I could just picture my kids trying to zoom across the living room and shattering glass and me going to the hospital and shit. But, you know, single me would have been like, fuck yeah.
Oh, dude, that apartment rules, though.
That was the shit.
Unfortunately, James, since she keeps getting these warnings to fulfill the prophecy and keeps getting visions.
The prophecy.
Visions of the Wishmaster haunting her.
From the last movie.
Constantly.
Yes. Good, made for some good jump scares, though.
The only way to combat this is with a pure soul.
And she ain't pure.
And she's not pure. So, you know how you solve that, James?
Yes.
You fuck a priest.
Well, yes. You fuck a priest.
And then...
and then you do the reverse glow up.
Uh-huh.
And you Ally Sheedy yourself at the end of Breakfast Club and getting the... The very sensible dress. And of course, you know, in every single solitary Judeo-Christian, cutting your finger off as a sacrifice for purity is all there. I mean, it's widely known that we use Yakuza symbolism to show our purity. The fuck?
Yeah, I have no idea what this movie is talking about. Why does she cut her finger off? And here's the thing, James.
Yeah.
Did you notice what she cut her finger off with? At no point was it like a ceremonial blade of any sort.
No,
it was a fucking KitchenAid butcher's knife.
It was a shitty knife, and I'm like, oh.
She just chops her goddamn finger
off.
And
then the way they filmed it, it looked like it was rough. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a clean, like... She knew what the fuck she was doing. It looked like she had to roll around it a couple times and then finally... And then she's just walking around like nothing happened with her hand bandaged. I'm like... And then she gets holy noogies. She gets holy noogies up at the church.
Uh-huh.
You're good. You're pure. Have a good day. Dominus ominous. Get the fuck out.
Yeah. None of it makes a lick of sense. And it's the best.
Well, I will tell you again, if it wasn't for the absolute... weird ass fucking visuals. I got that needle in the back of my head because I, like, again, you couldn't be objective, but there's things that'll ruin a movie for me if I start getting into whatever lore there is and then they start fucking it up. Ooh, it bothers me if they start getting a little bit weird. I did not give a single flying fuck. In fact, it eventually became funny to me.
Yes.
So, but before it became funny to me, it was irritating me, but this movie saved it by pulling motherfuckers through bars, having old lady shit quarters. Fucking.
And meanwhile, while she's cutting her finger off, we cut back to prison, and the Russian gangster and the Wishmaster are just hanging out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd like to tell about the portrayal of the Russian gangster. That fucking guy, because I know that guy. I used to live in a neighborhood that was Hispanic and Polish off the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And you go out there, and they got all those guys there. He wasn't the maid guy, but he was always around. And he's always kind of telling jokes and always too drunk to really do work. But he's handy in a fight, so we keep him around, you know?
Yeah.
He was that guy, and he portrayed him perfectly. Like, fucking embarrassing sloppy drunk. He acted like, you know, like one...
And just a sniveling little... fucking turd in prison.
But you know how usually when you portray drunk on screen, it's just kind of, they wobble a little bit. No, because he hit like, he was like
drunk. I'm in charge now.
Right. But it looked like he was trying to look sober instead of trying to look drunk. And that's a huge, huge difference in the portrayal. His accent was fucking on it, man. And just his portrayal of that fucking sloppy dude who, now I got the fucking power, you know?
But I just love, though, that it cuts back to them, and it's just the Wishmaster and a Russian gangster hanging out, playing chess, smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
And this dude, who is, now witnessed him perform devilish acts and knows that he is a genie of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
This dude is bothering the Wishmaster, like, no, come on, just give me more than one wish. Come on, come on, just being a real pain in the ass to this supernatural devil.
Yep.
It's the best. So the Wishmaster walks away, comes back as Tiny Lister, says, how bad do you want to get out of this prison?
I don't, sir. I love it here. American prisons are best in world.
And when I saw that, all I could think of was Yakov Smirnoff talking about keeping our references timely.
So his best prison.
So next time we see them, they're just at the, like, Russian gangster bar.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I, again, this movie is just, ugh.
Yeah.
You're like,
it's a fever dream.
Like, why the fuck are they in the bar now? How did they get out? We forgot about the part where he fucks up Tiny, doesn't it? And he puts on his face.
Yeah.
And then he walks out.
Because Tiny Lister says to him,
I'd like to dance one-on-one with you in competition.
No, he said,
weird shit like
he's
that.
He's like, I want a slow dance with you.
Competition.
Compton style. Like Compton, California, like down and dirty.
Said competition style.
Yours is funnier.
I know.
No, it was Compton style. But again, that pause, that little pause, I'm like, are they going to kiss?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then he does fuck up Tiny Lister in the alternate dimension.
And again, comes out wearing his face and shit and walks Russian dude right the fuck out. They don't show him walking out.
Which again, you can't just do.
Nope. There'd be some questions asked.
Uh-huh.
There's more than one checkpoint from a cell all the way out in a county, even little counties.
Uh-huh.
There is questions going to be asked. And eventually you're going to see that that's not his face.
Why are you just walking this murderer out the door?
Why are you wearing that face? I mean, that's not your face. Where did you get that?
So they're at the Russian bar, and he is fucking sloppy drunk, trying to convince everybody that his friend the devil can grant them wishes.
Plus, please note that this guy who seems like a sloppy drunk, you can tell by his characterization that there's a fucking mind behind that, because he keeps denying that wish, because he knows what the fuck's going to happen if he actually makes the wish.
Uh-huh.
So every time, oh, no, I'm good, buddy. We're good, and I'm here to help you, bud.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't give me the hookup that I asked for, we're good.
So I do want to mention that I forgot that they at least kind of tried, because when they are sitting playing chess, the Wishmaster is talking about how he's like depleted the amount of souls that are in that prison, which means that he's effectively just depopulated that prison and murdered shitloads of people. And well, I guess that's just fine with everyone. So,
well, it seems like he didn't murder everybody. That some of them lived, because at the end when they were pulling the souls out of the bodies, some of them were alive, and then their souls came out.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm just saying.
That's always been a wonky thing with the Wishmaster, at least even in the first one. It's never clear as to like who he's killed and who. It's strange.
And it's intimated at the end of the movie. I'm kind of confused that a lot of those people just came back when the genie was in. You know, enslaved, a lot of these people came back to life, or only the ones who were already alive.
I believe it's kind of the same rules as the first one, where it's effectively time travel or time erasure.
Well, if that's the case,
to the point of wherever. Yeah, again.
If that is the case, then how come when.
No, you're right. Whatever you're going to say, you're right.
Okay. Because there, it's like, how come when he turned. Oh, we forgot to mention when old boy got turned into a sperm again.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I'd never been born, so instead of just, you know.
Yeah, the very first kill of the movie.
Yeah, he just turns into a baby, and then a fetus, and then you intimate that it's just, he's just sperm left.
Mm-hmm. So they're at the Russian bar, and this is when the big boss walks in.
Mm. Oh, God. This is hilarious and the stupidest goddamn thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I was just like, oh, fuck no, movie, no.
So he's trying to talk this, the big boss, the Don of the Russian mob, into making a wish from the Wishmaster. And he keeps telling him, no, I don't need anything from you. I don't need anything. And the Wishmaster brings up, like,
an enemy that you can't touch.
And that's when we see him freeze. And our Russian gangster just yells out, "What about Mustafa?" And it's one of my favorite things that they do, is he turns around in a rage and gives him the, "I told you to never mention that name in my presence, ever." Mm-hmm. Like, oh, man, you did it, movie. Mm-hmm. You sure did.
They did. And then he finally goes, "Mustafa," and fucking he turns into
I want the head of Mustafa.
Mm-hmm. He got the head of Mustafa.
Yeah, because he's just a different dude now.
And what I love is the instant they changed, the goons automatically accepted that that was Mustafa.
Yeah.
They weren't even like, "The fuck just happened?" No, they're like,
"Hey, man, you really are a genie, aren't you?" No, he's just immediately that dude.
Mm-hmm. It's like, "Mustafa, you're Mustafa now." "No, dudes, guys, come on. I'm your boss." "Mustafa." I'm
like, yeah.
Okay. And this is the point where I just let the movie take over.
Where you just let it wash over you.
I leaned back and relaxed and just got into it, homie. I'm like, okay, this movie is absolutely out of its goddamn mind. I'm in. Let's do this.
All right. So where are we at? Because I lose track about
it. No, we're at he turned into Mustafa.
All right, so where do we go here? Because I lose track.
At this point, he's like, the big thing at this point is the soul counter's at 800.
That's right, yep.
And I know a way we can get this many souls this quickly.
And so Morgana shows up at the Russian bar.
Mm-hmm.
And shoots the Wishmaster.
Oh, and this is the only thing that kind of made sense. Remember when I was bitching that they should have brought that back a little bit? The reason he knows the bar is because he knew the name because he killed some people in the parish. So
yes.
It kind of half-ass makes sense.
Yeah.
I'll give the movie that.
Yeah. But it's super fucking cool, dude. She shoots the Wishmaster in his full-on demon form.
Mm-hmm.
He just laughs at her and eats worms out of his wound.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
It fucking rules, it dude. It did.
No, and again, that was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's one of those 90s horror moments where you're like, you know what? At least they tried.
And at this point of the movie, I'm just like, oh, this is what this is. Oh, I get it. Okay. And then I could enjoy it. Because again, prior to that, I'm still fighting. I still got that little logic train kind of half-assed trying to run. And I'm like, no.
Yep. So that's right. Back on track. This is the point where the Wishmaster needs to collect a shitload of souls. So I want to remind you that this movie began with the genie goes to prison,
mm-hmm.
followed by the next act, the genie gets a job.
Oh, God, yeah. At?
The genie gets hired by Bokeem Woodbine to be an employee at the casino.
It took me a minute. I'm staring at
hey,
this
James,
motherfucker.
Do you know how I know it was a casino?
Because it said casino. Because
there was a big pillar that said casino on it.
I'm staring at this motherfucker, right? I'm looking hard. I'm trying to... Who the fuck... I know this guy. Because I'm used to seeing him with all the hair and shit. And I'm like, oh, it's fucking Bokeem Woodbine. Sweet. I watch that guy in any fucking thing.
Yep. So...
There it is. The big three for acting in this movie. Morgana. Bokeem. I'm sorry.
And the schlubby dude. And schlubby the holding dude. Cell.
Yeah, those are my favorite three. I mean, let's give it up for...
I love beefcake prison inmate.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, just as far as sheer, just I fucking loved watching them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, lawyer that fucks himself, also great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the visuals are great. Let's get to the casino, because the fucking casino.
Okay.
Oh, the fucking casino.
So... It's kind of almost a repeat situation of the first Wishmaster, because in the first one, Robert Englund is the art collector who was shipping in the Ahura Mazda, and so he was having a gigantic party at his house, ergo collection of souls, that's how they set it up.
Yeah.
Not bad. Demarest gets into the party, causes havoc, it's fucking insane.
Okay.
So their way to get him a bunch of souls is to get him a job. Filling out paperwork at the old casino.
Yeah.
Schlubbing it 9 to 5.
Because, you know, he's got all the paperwork.
The genie filled out fucking W-2s and 401k information.
I just wanted to see him once just do like the I Dream of Genie with his hands up and just blink his paperwork. Boing.
It's the best.
It is.
So this is when the genie decides to start, or the djinn, or the wishmaster decides to start wreaking havoc on the casino. Let's just skip whatever bullshit. But, let's get to it.
Because I'm going to forget about the fact that you should at least have the words "I wish" in there. Because the guy's like, nah, basically, I want everybody to win. You know, I want everybody to be happy, whatever.
Yeah.
So, okay.
There are several times where no wish was made during this movie. It was more of a command or just a statement that they went, nah, fuck it.
Or when the cop said freeze and he's like, oh, freeze.
Yeah, again, a command, not a question.
The guy turns
or
to ice.
Or a wish.
And you're like, that wasn't, fuck this movie.
Oh, yeah, immediately. Within the first 5 minutes, they break the rules of Wishmaster, the title of the film.
And it was more of, like a Freddy Krueger grind where I'm going to set up the thing and say the thing. And I loved it. It was great. But,
it didn't make any sense.
It didn't make a fucking goddamn lick of sense.
So yeah, that's what he, because yeah, the Wishmaster makes a joke about how like the house always wins. And that's when Bohem's like, well, you know, the most important thing is that people come in and have fun. And, you know, whether we make money or they make money, we just want everyone to win.
Yeah.
So that's when the casino floor, which is not vast, James.
Oh, no, again, it looks like some vague two-story building where they tried to make it look as much like a casino as possible.
It looks like they set it up in a mall food court.
Fucking yeah, it looks like it's a Woodfield Mall in the food court.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
So, the roulette wheel starts spinning.
Okay, it's spinning and it's got all of a sudden, because it was a roulette wheel before, and then all of a sudden, these fucking spikes, these like jagged spikes, like they would be on the side of wheels in fucking Death Race, are popping out, just zipping people's legs, just hacking them. Whack.
Just winging roulette balls everywhere.
Fucking like shotgun shells. Wham. Fucking cards are biffing out of the counter, sticking in people's faces. It's just chaos.
And James, I know I've said it before, but perhaps the greatest moment in cinema history.
Do tell.
There is a one poor elderly woman.
Oh, yes.
From whom coins rocket out of her butthole.
But prior to that, you see her like a button pop on her shirt and you're like, what the fuck's going on? And her belly's getting big.
Distended, yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, what's going on? And all of a sudden you see a couple quarters drop. I'm like, oh, there better not be shit with those quarters. No, but she's literally spitting a fountain of quarters out of her asshole. Just, wah, it's just coming, piling up high.
Torrents of coins.
Like Scrooge McDuck amounts of fucking gold coins just spitting out of her ass.
Flying out of this woman's asshole.
Ah, yeah. And she's just like, James. Oh! The look on her face, dude. The look on her face is priceless.
And again, this being, and I hate to admit it, but the amount of times that I've watched it has kind of proven, I guess now, one of my, what by default is one of my favorite movies.
It's up there with Dodgeball, homie.
I was going to be crushed if you walked in here having seen that and went, fuck this movie.
Well, for the first,
James,
up until I realized what this movie was. It was going to be an interesting, I thought it was going to be a very interesting podcast because I was like, fuck you for making me watch this, Chris, because I was getting up into my head with my little nerd logic.
I was figuring that you were going to do the same thing that you did during the first Power, that Lou Diamond Phillips, where you watched it as if we were watching like a His House or something very serious.
And it started out because this is what we do. We fucking pick apart movies. I've learned to critique. I've learned to look with a critical eye. I've learned to look, you know, get outside of my own bullshit and look at this objectively. And I start every movie, no matter what we do, with that in mind. And I knew you kind of told me a little bit about this, and I figured it was going to be a little out there because, you know, we can both puff shit up, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, but I couldn't turn off the critical until the scene. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I understand the assignment.
Yeah.
This is dumb.
Yeah. And this, then they hit me with this fucking casino scene, dude. And I'm just loving every goddamn second of it. It's just out of its mind.
And here's the distinction that I really want to make, because like, I'm not a big fan of, like, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, or the movies that are being, like, intentionally silly, but winky silly, like Sharknado. Mm-hmm. Don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like they did a lot of this in earnest and like, yeah, it's silly, but we're doing it for fun. It's for us.
Right, but
so they did it.
The best camp in the entire world is one where people are seriously trying to lean into their roles and trying to give it, you know, the old actor's try. Because the minute you lean into camp, it stops being funny.
Uh-huh.
Because then you're winking at yourself. So,
But it is possible to do, because, I mean, Psycho Goreman does that.
Absolutely.
In spades. But it works.
But it's rare. I've seen 100 pieces of bullshit for the one Psycho Goreman.
Yeah.
So they walk a fine line here, and that's a nod to the director. Say what you will about anything that he's done, he's managed to balance that line between camp and satire and earnestness, which actually draws you into the fucking ridiculousness of it. Because if it was less funny or more intentionally funny, it would have ruined the tone of this movie.
Yeah.
It needs to maintain a tone for us to love it for what it is. And that's a really big distinction, too, because it takes a certain amount of skill. It's like dark comedies. It's a real, real fine line.
Yeah, it's real hard to do. And that's why, again, I think I turn to this movie so often when, because it doesn't take a critical eye to watch this,
mm-hmm.
but it's good enough to where, like, I will put down, you know, if I'm folding laundry, I'll stop and watch this segment, because, like, I genuinely like parts of this.
Well, this movie was $5 million, which in 99 was not chump change.
No, it wasn't a big production.
No.
But it's not nothing.
No, and so it was enough to get, you know, maybe not name names, but at least good working actors instead of, okay, who can we get, you know? Because I know if I ever film something, I'm grabbing three people from the improv and two people from the theater I might know and hope they can act on film, you know?
Right.
But he had enough money to hire a good filming staff, good effects. He wrote it with whoever. I mean,
because I cannot say enough, while we talk about all this goofy, weird, insane shit that happens,
mm-hmm.
they at least tried to put a story to it. Is it good? No.
And they honored the reality of what was going on, even though the internal logic was all over the place. They set up a world where that's okay, because I forgot that I stopped thinking about why the fuck
yeah.
hasn't there been 6 investigations? How come, you know, his cell would have been tossed in 2 seconds because he was in the same room. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, shit, he's always there.
And they don't do the thing that, like, and I blame Joss Whedon for doing a lot of this, is like the, well, isn't it stupid that we're doing this? Like, the super meta, like, no, everybody in this movie's taking what's happening seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird and silly and stupid on top of that.
But it honors its own, like this is its own world, where things like this could happen without being questioned. You know, it doesn't take you so far into lore, or so far out of it, that you think too much about it. Because this movie isn't about thinking.
Yeah.
It's and about again, looking.
The Wishmaster, when he is in his demon form, looks mm-hmm. fucking cool.
Yeah, is that the same actor?
Yeah.
Okay. In all the...
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. Because I was trying to tell, because the eyes look different. I couldn't tell if that was an effect or if it was a different person.
Yeah. And, like, for all the silly goofiness, again, like, there's some genuinely kind of scary moments. So at least, again, they're trying. And that's what I really love about this is, like, mm-hmm. yes, we're making Wishmaster 2.
Mm-hmm.
We acknowledge that fact. Are we going to be the gore fest that the first one was? No.
No, but the gore parts were good.
No, exactly.
They were taken seriously.
The first one is a fucking gore fest. And it rules because it's mm-hmm. a bunch of very highly trained, specialized people showcasing their own personal
special
effects.
How far apart were Wishmaster and Wishmaster 2?
4 or 5 years, maybe.
Okay, because there's I feel like there's like a difference like in feel to it. Not, I don't know what I'm.
But that's what I'm saying is that they were tasked with making Wishmaster, which was not a cultural revolution.
Right.
Wishmaster 2. What do we do? Well, I'm gonna do my best, but Let's have fun.
Yeah, because that's exactly what he said. He said, I wasn't going to do it. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do Nightmare 2.
Yeah.
But they told me I could do what I wanted.
Yeah, and that movie's got a fucking exploding canary in it.
Well, he was more a little bit more tied with that one. So he said when he got on this one, he's like, this is my baby now. I'm doing what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
And I love that. I love the fact that it didn't need logic. He just said, fuck it. I think I'm going to film all of this. Wrote.
Yep. And then, I mean, there's the final showdown with Morgana and the Wishmaster, which is fucking stupid and fine. They just have a dumb conversation, and she says, I wish I'd have never shot that man. And oh, no, you've defeated me.
I love the fact that they showed that in, like, a Leave It to Beaver type flashback where hi, honey, I'm home. Get the boys some cereal.
Yeah.
Like, nobody questions, where have you been for the last 2 days? We heard you were dead. What the fuck's going on? No, I'm just like, oh, great.
And I would also like to add that, yes, priests do have the right to stay silent if they know that somebody is a murderer in the course of confession. But I generally think morally they are obligated to say, you know, you have taken a life. Mm-hmm. You are a murderer. I have to alert the authorities.
There's weird laws about that if you're ever in, like...
Yeah, you don't have to. But most priests, if they know that you have killed somebody, will recommend that you...
I forgot what it's called. It was called the something reporter law. And for certain crimes...
You have to.
You have to. As a licensed whatever, you are required to.
Yeah, it's like any time that you work with children or the impaired, that you have to be, you know, like a
responder. An advocate, yeah.
Yeah, that if you hear anything about anything happening, be it true or not, you have to report that.
Right. So, and there's also, you know.
But in the 90s, who knows?
Yeah, but even to this day, there are many cases where the priest didn't tell anybody.
Yes.
But
they also probably didn't hang out with them regularly. Yeah.
No, but they kind of maybe let the cat out of the bag and let somebody else tell them.
Because it's one of my favorite parts is when he shows up to her apartment and they're having that long conversation. Mm-hmm. Where it might be in... Oh, no, it's when she gets back from the prison and he's gardening.
Oh, yeah.
She's trying to convince him, well, maybe if you went and talked to this guy who got blamed for my murders, no, you wouldn't want to do that. And he goes, well, maybe I should. Why?
And he didn't, you know, you'd think a man of the cloth would have fought the fact that he thought it was the devil no matter what the djinn said.
Yeah.
A little harder.
Yeah.
He goes to prison, talks to him for like 3 minutes. Nah, he's a fucking genie.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know what the fuck to do. Try a cross and shit. I don't think it's going to work. But
You want to brush my mustache goatee combo?
I can't say a fucking word.
No, I know, but like... Man, that did not fit his face.
No, I'm just like, that is like that's a white boy face.
He may as well have just had a Fu Manchu for all I care.
I'd love to see him in like a cholo stash with the little blues beard. Because that would be so out of pocket, it would be hilarious.
Oh, man.
This movie, dude.
So, James, yeah. We're running long, and I don't really care, but... Would you recommend Wishmaster 2?
I would recommend the fuck out of this movie.
Dude, I love this movie. It's up there with, as far as movies like this, this one legitimately is, it kind of reminds me of the vibes of Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors.
Okay.
Which legitimately is one of my favorite horror movies. Just the color palette, the tone, everything about it is, yeah... We're making this, but we're going to have fun, too. It's going to be scary, but we're going to have fun. Fuck you. And it's those kind of movies where, like, yeah, they took it seriously. Mm-hmm. They did their jobs and had fun at work.
Hell yeah. And this movie looks like everybody just had a fucking ball.
Uh-huh. And I have a blast every time I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I turn it on again, even Kayla was like, we're watching Wishmaster 2 again. Like, I finally am making James watch it for the thing. So, like, yeah, I very much considered not rewatching it for this podcast. I've seen it that many times.
I know, but it's always, it's like I can't, as much as I want to just, like, sometimes just watch the movie 10 minutes before here.
Right.
And sometimes I kind of push it close. I always want to make sure that I have time to do some reading. I want to make sure that I have time to process what I, you know, this is why I didn't fucking need to do it, but it always helps. I mean, our podcast would probably suck ass if we didn't, you know, take it half-ass seriously.
Yeah. So, I mean, I cannot say enough good things about Wishmaster 2. It's dumb. Yeah. If you're going to watch it, don't have the stick up your ass. Mm-hmm. It's silly and it's goofy, but it's a fucking blast.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Chris, when you first told me about this movie, you hyped it a little bit, but I saw you pull back, which made me think, oh, you fucking love this movie.
Uh-huh.
I could just tell by your reaction because you were starting to be like, oh, yeah, and fucking this. And then you like, I saw you pull back and I'm like, Oh, he really likes this movie.
Like, this is kind of, because I've never seen Wishmaster 3 or 4, because Andrew Divoff quit after this. He didn't want to continue, which I completely understand. It's the Christopher Lee in the last Dracula movie
watched. Okay, it's Law of Diminishing Returns. He milked about as much money as
that. It's time to move on. Yes, yeah. I'm done with this.
Because if he did the next one, he'd probably get about half and maybe a quarter of what he had, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah, but this is absolutely, in Chris' terms, this is a RoboCop situation where, yeah, the one that I like the most isn't the best one. Because Wishmaster is, again, I said it before, I think it's a legitimately good movie. For what it is, it's a 90s gore fest in a practical effects house showing off. And there's a fucking lizard man in the beginning, and Kane Hodder gets turned into glass bit. It fucking rules, dude.
Hell yeah.
But there's something about this one that just tugs at my heartstrings every single time I turn it on.
Yeah, I was worried again, and up until I got that little change of heart that, oh, this movie's stupid. Because at no point did you tell me that it's cool, but dumb cool. You know, you didn't say any of that. You didn't sell it to me like that at all.
Nope.
So, again, objective, doing the thing. Oh, stupid. If you watch this movie knowing it's just fucking mindless fun. This is mindless fun. I'd put this movie to anybody. You know?
Yeah. And I would 100% say, yeah, pop some popcorn.
Hell yeah.
If you can't hear the dialogue over your crunching and munching, you're fine.
And the gore is out there, but it's 90s out there. It's 90s goofy practical
effects. Yeah, it's 1999, $5 million Wishmaster 2 budget gore.
So it's palatable for me. I mean, I would have been able to early when we first started this. I was a little skittish. This would have been a fucking, you know, it'd have been a softball for me, you know?
Yeah.
So just watch it. It's stupid fun.
It's fun, great.
Fun for the whole family.
Kinda. Cause not really. No.
But you see half of what the kids see nowadays, you know, when you're not looking and all of a sudden you go, you're fucking watching that. No, click. But this one, there's no sex.
No.
You know, there's a lot of implied, hey, you know, I'm calling you the F-bomb, but I kind of like you. You know, kind of stuff there's there. But, you know, there's no sex.
No.
I mean, except for the lawyer fucking himself, and that's not really sex.
He is fully clothed. Shoes on.
And backwards.
Dude.
Those were nice shoes, too.
Oh, thank you, James, for allowing me to share Wishmaster 2 with you.
Dude, thank you for sharing it with me, man.
Again, just due to sheer quantity of times that I have seen this movie, it clearly is one of my favorites, and I don't have a real good explanation why, except for it warms me heart.
Well, it expands our vocabulary now, too. We can make references to this movie now.
Oh, but speaking of references, I know, fuck you. I'm not a transition machine. Where can people find us?
They can find us at horrorvomitpodcast@gmail.com. They can find us on the Facebook. We've got a Facebook page. They can find us on the Instagram.
And you can find me every Wednesday night from 8:30 to ? Playing the old video games on Twitch at horror_vomit_Chris. As I got into some of the Blasphemous, I did a few weeks ago, I streamed Death Stranding, which I shouldn't do again. I think I've talked about this because it's literally just walking around. It is the least entertaining video game of all time, and I love it.
Lord of the Rings, Hobbits Walk, the video game.
Oh, no, you throw like piss and shit bombs at air ghosts.
Ooh, great.
That explode. And Cthulhu monsters that don't make any sense. I built a road.
Ooh. With piss and shit bombs.
Yeah.
All right.
Off the back of piss and shit bombs. Not with them specifically.
Like you do.
You know. And James.
Well, wait.
Hey.
I got one last thing to say.
Yes.
If there are any local listener, Chris and I have done a thing.
Local to the West Michigan area.
Absolutely. We have started a cleaning company. It's called Field Day Cleaning LLC. We specialize in restaurant cleaning.
But
mm-hmm.
we will.
Yes.
If you ask,
mm-hmm.
we'll do it.
Yeah, we'll clean the fuck out of stuff.
Oh, and we'll do it so good.
We'll just get in there.
I want to say sloppy, but that's antithetical to what we're trying to get across.
I'm just
going to
get right in those nooks and crannies and just get in there.
We'll really slap you.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of slapping going on.
We'll slap the shit out of that dirt.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I fucked it up.
Dude, that's our new motto. We'll slap the shit out of that dirt.
We'll slap the shit out of that dirt. And then we'll let you know that the only way to save your soul is to fuck a priest and cut your finger off.
Mm-hmm. Yakuza style.
And we'll clean it up after you cut your finger off.
Yeah. Be extra, man, though.
Can we be done?
Push the I've fucking
really
button.
I've really just pooped out on this one. Yet again.
Push the button.
Yet
the
again.
Button.
Professional broadcasters.
With the finger, push the thing.